The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2022, Living Liberation, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join or making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, you can visit libraplanet.org/conference.
You are now unmuted. You are now muted. You are now unmuted. You are now muted.
Hi, I'm Stephen, the room monitor for this talk titled Baby Steps to Freedom, and it'll be presented by William Liggett. William is a software engineer, assistant professor, and ethical hacker. He has also obtained many cool points for getting more people to care about and use free software. Welcome, William, and please proceed.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Stephen. One of the things that what inspired me to do this talk, and it was actually kind of interesting that the theme of Libra Planet was basically doing the same thing of what I'm trying to champion here. So I actually did not create the talk because of the conference exactly, like the spirit of the talk. I've been trying to do this for many, many years. And so I think it's just an interesting aspect of coalescence that we're trying to champion a similar concept in, you know, maybe different ways. So here's the thing is, oh, and by the way, I know that some of you might be tuning in to the talk that may not have much exposure to when you you'll hear me say terms like free software, a term that's more popular that a lot of people, it basically means the same thing, is open source software. And so to clear out some confusion right away, I just want to make sure that, you know, when I'm talking about free software, it's actually not about software that costs $0. So it's more the concept, if you're new to these terms, it's more about free as in freedom, like your freedoms and so forth. So anyways, the talk that I have, Baby Steps to Freedom. All right. The goal is, it's as you see the title there, it's about a long-term strategy to win hearts and minds. All right. Now, before I get into it, all right, I'm actually really a professional comedian. I do software thing as a side thing or something. All right. No, seriously, I got good corny jokes. All right. I'm known for. All right. So here's a good nerdy joke for everybody. All right. How do trees access the internet? They log in. Woo! That's good, huh? That's solid. Let me do one more. You want one more? What do you call a bear with no teeth? Gummy bear. It's solid. It's solid stuff, right? So, anyways, okay, let's get into it. All right. So, here we go. All right. Mini background on me. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I don't want to bore you to death. Basically, my background summary is I'm a full stack developer. I've been a nerd for proud computer nerd for many years. You know, before it was even cool to do so. And so, anyways, programming different languages, Java, Python, PHP, JavaScript, all that kind of stuff. I'm doing different things. I'm currently teaching at the community college. I got a small little business called Junk Text, and I'm trying to write a book currently with BPP Publications. It's all about hands-on cybersecurity with Java, all right? Which I know goes against the grain of that realm a bit, because usually Python is very popular. I also teach Python, but in my assessment, I actually think Java can be more powerful in some regards, because you know you can especially get it on like mobile systems and stuff like that, which is one area that Python needs to up their game with. Anyways, so that's a bit of my background. You see some more stuff there. Let's get into the heart of the talk. All right. So first and foremost, okay, before I begin, seriously, I love free software. I love what Richard Stallman started and so many others who have been part of the community of building, you know, this movement, really. So as again, this is not talking about software that costs no money. It's more about freedoms. All right. Now you may ask, well, why do I love free software? What's the big deal, right? Who cares? This is my opinion, all right, especially as an educator. And you know, I have two young daughters also. And so a lot of what I talk about here, it really shines through of why I think it's so important, especially today, as computers and software and technology is just becoming more and more part of our lives. And that's great, you know, technologies can be empowering, right? But at the same time, technologies can also be used against you potentially, all right? And so the thing with free software, what's great about it, some good summaries, especially if you're not used to understanding what is this about, is with free software. So big thing is like open education. What this is about, what this means, especially if you're not much of a programmer, is you can see, like nerdy people like me, we can look at the code of how a program was built. So if I can see how it works, then, and others can see how it works, it's kind of like the idea that, you know, sunlight is the best disinfectant, that it helps to make sure that you can see the code, you can make sure it's trustworthy and so forth. And a good side effect of that is you can learn from another person's code. There's also good, maybe selfish benefits of, say, if you're a student of learning computer programming, and you create your program and you release your source code under a free software license, that actually helps to boost your portfolio, and it's huge in the industry, mainly because the industry is actually built from free software most of the times. And so as part of this process, since everybody can see the code, you inherently just get more trust out of this whole situation. So what that means is that you basically have more confidence that it won't try to spy or steal on your data, you know. And maybe there might be aspects that you don't care that your data is tracked in some regards. But I think there's a continual trend where sometimes it gets a little scary that some devices, some software is, you know, designed to kind of watch your every move. And the spirit of free software was never designed to be in that realm. So that's why I think this is amazing. And that's why I love it. Another thing that I try to explain, which a lot of people sometimes look at me funny when I try to explain it like this, of why I'm so passionate about free software, is it deals with human rights, really. A phrase you might hear from people that are associated with the Free Software Foundation or the GNU Project is they'll talk about the concept of user freedom, that you get the freedoms that is baked into the software, that you can see the code, you can modify the code, you can share the program and the code with others and so on and so forth. And as a nice side effect to this is that it actually helps to ensure that the software that gets created really does actually try to respect people, you know? So in that sense, it's actually an aspect of human rights that you can make sure that software is not trying to, you know, do anything nefarious and so forth. Or maybe just things that you didn't know that they were, you know, tracking everything that you do all the time. So anyways, this is why I love free software. All right. However, okay. Now this, I want to be, you know, anything I say from here on out, and I don't know if you saw my camera, my shirt. I've been a member of the Free Software Foundation, for a number of years. And, before I got officially became a member, I was always very interested in this subject. It took some time. And one of the aspects is that what I notice is there's a lot of confusion, just common, you know, people just don't really get the concept, first of all, of free software. And the other thing too is, say from the Free Software Foundation, GNU project, through Richard Stallman and so forth, that they have correctly assessed that there's, even if you use the more popular term of open source software, most people don't really know what that means, other than they think it's just code you can see and just, it usually costs $0. So that's all they care about. But there's way more to that whole aspect. So my talk is going to be slightly critical in some regards of how I think that we have been doing as a community, and I want to challenge us to do better. Okay. So take anything that I get into as a form of tough love a little bit, and maybe as a messaging strategy, I guess. And so, that's the situation here. All right. So I'm going to start with a bit of a gloomy assessment in some regards, and you'll see what I mean by that. I will then, you'll see my, you know, I'm going to provide some helpful critiques. And part of this aspect, this whole concept of the talk of baby steps, right, is just doing a little bit at a time, getting people to love free software. And it's a process. It's really, that's what it really comes down to. So one of the things that, if you've been a long-term adherent to a lot of the philosophies with, you know, just use free software and just try to stick to that and only use that, that I think that does work for a number of people, but I think it's a smaller set of people. And so what I want to do is ramp us towards that vision of getting more people to use it and to understand it. So because it's a long-term strategy, unfortunately, a lot of this is built upon that they're basically going to still use proprietary or DRM-based software, which I'll explain that term if you're not familiar, for the near future. You got to think of it not so much like, and by near future, it depends. You know, this is like a five-year plan, is realistically trying to get this process. So it is not an overnight situation. All right. Okay. So let me keep going here. All right. So here's my assessment. All right. This is a good maybe way to encapsulate the idea here. Is I think we're in a pickle. And what I mean that is a phrase that you might hear English speakers say, that it's not a good situation to be in necessarily. So this is my assessment of free software right now, even though I love it. And it's one of the things I'm most passionate about. And so I say that we're in a pickle because, all right. And by the way, you can see the slide, but a pickle, what that means in a kind of informal sense, it's you're in an awkward or difficult situation, right? Like it's not the best spot you want to be in necessarily. So why do I think that we're in a pickle? All right. This is this is the deal, is that I have been teaching hundreds of students by now. And the one of the big aspects is that, you know, and I've tried talking to just everyday people or family members and friends and so forth, is that when you try to explain a lot of the ideas of how free software works and so forth, is they kind of don't want to know about it because it's too confusing, it sounds like, to them. And so for instance, like, number one, most people don't like learning about software licenses. Now, that even that phrase software licenses, if you're not very familiar, basically what that means is the software world is kind of funny in that they have these so-called software licenses that basically tell you what you're allowed to do with it. The reason why is software, like computer software, computer code, think of any web app or whatever you might use, it's all protected under the legal framework of copyright. And so software licenses get its power from the idea of copyright. But then the problem is you got to then maybe try to explain copyright and so forth. So people just, they don't want, they're like, this sounds like legalese. Like, why are you, I'm not a lawyer. I don't, you know, they don't want to know about all these details. It's too confusing to them. Then the second point is of why are we in a pickle? Is the funny situation is that most software, say even from big tech and so forth, it's actually all infused with free software, with what I'm explaining here, or another term people might hear is open source software. But as you might see here, is that people don't care that what this is about because of the first point. They don't care to learn it because they think it's too confusing. So then what, you know, they just kind of miss the concept completely. But, you know, I don't think any of these major tech companies would actually exist. Their tech empire would just not be the same at all, such as like Amazon, Google, Apple, Microsoft, all of these companies. And they build, you know, amazing technologies. I'm not trying to just slam on them. And they actually do contribute, by the way. They actually help to build a lot of this free software. But they don't really want the average person to really understand this. And even most developers, they don't really want them to kind of get it because there can be, you know too much, then it's like, hey, this is, it can go against the grain sometimes of, say, some of business interests and then the original spirit and design of free software. All right. So let me keep going though. So it's like, all right, how do we get out of this? How do we get, you know, people to understand this, first of all, to care about free software, like, you know, my passion, I love it, right? And to try to get people to like it and so forth. And so one of the techniques that I think as a community we've tried doing in some aspects is to basically do this, is that try to explain, like, literally, like, well, what's the legal theories on copyright? Which, again, you usually lose people's attention on that situation, right? Then if you try to get to the next major bullet point, then you're like, oh, well, let's now talk about software licenses. And there's two major categories of that. There's proprietary software, which is, say, for example, like Microsoft Word or Google Chrome is a good example of proprietary software. But then you have this other major category of software called free software, again, also called open source software. And there's, then it gets more confusing from there for average people, because it's like, oh, now let's start talking about copyleft, permissive licenses. And then, oh, by the way, let me try to explain the history of GNU, the Free Software Foundation. There's this other thing called the Open Source Initiative. And then let me try to explain terms like FLOSS and so forth. That problem is, this is the deal. People don't want, like, most average people, like, this is above and beyond what they're kind of going for. They're like, well, what are you talking about? They're going to tune you out eventually. So I know this from experience, is what I'm saying. And so this strategy, it works well, potentially, for what I say, studious computer nerds. All right, like me. All right. And I mean nerds in a good way. Okay. Like smart, intelligent, and stuff. Now, to just to be clear, So since I teach, right, I require all of my college students to actually know all of this. Like I actually do make them know this, because it's like, no, I got them in a format that they gotta know this, because it's for their career anyways. Once they understand all of these ideas, they're going to be much better developers, because then they understand all of the software, most of the software that, and tools and so forth that they use is built upon free software for the most part. And so then it, you know, so it works in this format, right? But most people don't have students to listen to them and so forth. If you do teach, okay, is you can check. I actually gave a talk at the previous Libra Planet from 2020. And so you could go there, you could see my talk. And I also have slides that help break down all these concepts, and it, you know, goes into copyright, proprietary versus free software, and all that greatness. Okay, so go ahead, use it. Like, great. You could use that for, you know, junior high students on up, probably would work. Anyways, I'm going to keep going. All right, so here we go. As I started my talk, is that one of the aspects of my baby steps kind of philosophy, just a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. I thought it's great that this Libra Planet theme is to do essentially the same thing, to encourage this, as, you know, a quote from the main conference website. It says that the theme of Libra Planet is to, you know, urge people to continue to make free software part of their daily lives, one decision at a time. So key phrase there is one decision. Okay. Also, I think is a great aspect to do this is the Free Software Foundation themselves. They started a campaign that they call the Freedom Ladder. And a quote from their efforts is, the goal of that campaign is to do a gradual process to eliminate non-free software. And that's great. You know, that's so all of we're basically on the same page now there. To be clear, I do differ here and there, maybe on the strategy a bit. So hopefully you don't hate me too much. All right. If you very locked into using only free software, I get it. That's what I would like to do as well. That's where I want to go in the future, right? Now, let me keep going here. All right. Is why I think baby steps are needed. These little bitty steps are needed, or that gradual process, or the one decision at a time kind of concept. Is, and I'm not critiquing, like when I say some of these aspects, like my first bullet point you read, that, you know, most people they barely understand computers. Again, I'm not saying that people are stupid at large. That's not what I'm saying, because a lot of people are really bright and brilliant. You know, like for instance, say my father, he's a mechanic. He's like very smart with mechanical aspects, fixing cars, stuff like that. That is not my knowledge set. Like I acknowledge my ignorance there. And so what I'm saying here is that there's different, you know, at large in general of most people barely understand computers. This may not be quite their thing to be a developer or something like that. And that's fine. So the other aspect with that is that because, you know, they're not really into all of that, they don't really see they have the need to learn, you know, like they don't have the time. The other aspect, they don't have the time or maybe the desire to learn all about software freedoms and what that means and why they should care and so forth. And then a worse impact on that is it's really not even an issue to them. It's like, what are you even talking about? Like, what, you know, so again, if you're tuning in and you never heard of this stuff before, it may be kind of new news. Like, what are they talking about? Why is this guy talking about this so much? Is that, you know, people rarely even hear about these issues. It's a non-issue for the most part, because you don't hear about it from the news, like any news source. I'm a I'm actually kind of a news junkie. I really never ever hear anybody talk about free software or open source software as like a thing to worry about. So you don't hear it from the news. You don't hear it from most teachers, because again, most teachers, this is not their passion necessarily to understand all this. You don't hear about it from business leaders, politicians, religious leaders, movies, music, their friends, and so forth. So if people don't hear about it, they don't hear about it from, especially from sources that they may care about or that have some sort of aspect of authority in that sense, then it's really a non-issue. Like, what's the big deal? Why do we even care about free software or open source software? However, as a baby step tip, if you're active in any of these areas, you know, spread the word there. Like, say you're a musician. I actually did this in a store. I'm not a musician, to be clear. But I ran into a musician, really nice guy, actually. He was actually an Uber driver because he couldn't make as much money with his music. And so with that, I was like, oh, you know what? Hey, you know, you should really check out this software called Audacity. It's great. And, I've used that before. It's really powerful software, because I was trying to figure out, like, what would maybe inspire him to want to try software that is about, you know, free software and stuff, all these freedoms and stuff like that. So I don't know if you tried it, but it's just it's baby steps. You just get people to be aware of it and so forth. Anyways, let me keep moving here. Another big aspect of why these little baby steps are needed is that there's this kind of conundrum, is that most most truly free software, such as, like, and I'm being clear, like, not Android. I know that the project of Android is officially titled the Android Open Source Project, but most people, when they're talking about Android, it's like some pre-installed software operating system on a phone, and there's so many other things that go into Android to make it work, such as a lot of the hardware drivers and so forth, that are not free software. So a lot of Android, to make it actually work, you can't really make it work unless you use proprietary software. And so what I'm saying here is that a lot of the really true free software projects that might be around, there's a lot of these, and there's a lot of passionate people surrounded around this idea. Is the unfortunate part is it's actually just not well funded. That's a really big issue right now. And I'm not, I don't have this pure love of money kind of thing, but a lot of how our society works is still, you know, it still runs the world basically in that sense. And so one of the strategies that's been around for a long time is a lot of the people who create some amazing free software capability or tool is they actually just ask you to donate to them. Like, hey, if you like this, please give us money. Like, they don't even require a user to pay and stuff like that. And that could be a strategy. I'm not saying that donation base is bad. But there's this other reverse trend that I see, is that there might be a foundation, like so-called community version of the project. And then they have a pro version that people pay for, and then they make that pro version proprietary. And so you got this little weird ecosystem of it is, you know, free software at the foundation, and then what business users or whatever might use is proprietary. So it's this weird kind of inverse effect. I don't feel like this is the best way to go. The other thing, that because there's just like not a lot of money and stuff like that goes into this, well, how do you get people to want to create the software? So because of that, it can actually suffer from maintenance problems. Like, say somebody creates an amazing application for a phone or something like that that is free software. Well, unfortunately, it's that person, they're just working nights and weekends in their spare time or something like that. But like, how sustainable is that? Like, they get a wife and kids, and then all the free time is gone. and they need to start bringing in money. And it's like, well, they got to not work on their passionate free software projects. So then the project suffers from maintenance issues and so forth. So then it's like, and then because of that, just naturally, then the software starts having quirks, or this is the big thing, you know, like that it is not very, you know, newbie friendly. And I don't mean this as like a bash against somebody, but it's just, you know, people want software. They expect software these days to be easy, not to be no quirks, cannot have problems. But it's hard to build this amazing free software project if they don't have some way to sustain themselves to build that project. Okay. So, yeah, that's kind of the issue that's going on here. All right. So a lot of also the theme of my talk that, why I was inspired to come up with this and try to present it and so forth. It's actually very personal to me. And I think that I feel like this story is very common for a lot of people who really gravitate to computer technologies. That for me, as a kind of a quick snapshot of my life, of how I got into this, why I care about free software and so forth, is it all started me playing video games as a kid. You know, I need some water. But... So, you know, I started with actually old computer games from DOS that my uncle gave me a bunch of games, and I played on the Tandy computer we had, and it was Windows 3.1, all right? And then I, like, you know, I got a Nintendo, all sorts of stuff. Like, you know, these are had fun. I had a lot of fun with all these types of games. so that really is what sucked me into computers and stuff like that. And then when we got a computer, you know, also the Windows 3.1 stuff, but also when Windows 95 was around, I was just fascinated with all this kind of stuff. So I got into Microsoft Windows, learn all about that. And then third era, I started to learn to program, network and hack, you know, good, bad, all things in that sort of sense. And then I'm like, oh, this is Linux thing that you hear about. What is this about? And they're like, okay, I'll get into that, play with that. And now I'm teaching about it. Right now, let me maybe break this down a little bit. I won't spend too much time, but as I said, because I think what was interesting, if I look at just my own self, like I think an interesting question I was really spending time on is like, so if these are the five kind of eras, so-called, of how I got into free software, well, what motivated me? So for the first aspect, like, why did I like playing computer games as a kid? More proper things, I started playing proprietary computer games. Well, yeah, kids don't care. Kids love playing games, right? But then the issue with that is kids don't really care about a bunch of legal stuff. You know, it's like, what? That's just boring. Like, what are you talking about? Like, and supposed ethical issues. It's like, what are you even talking about? I want to play the game. What are you talking about? I want to play Bad Dudes on NES or something like that. Like, come on. Like, what are you? Don't tell me about copyright, you know? So if you try to explain that to like my eight-year-old self, like version of myself, like I wouldn't even, I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. But that's what motivated me, right? I just want to play games. Kids want to play games, right? So then I moved on, and it's like, all right, I started getting into Microsoft Windows, learned all about DOS. I got in all the command line stuff. Like, whoa, what's this registry stuff? Like, oh, sweet. Like changing up the boot images. And it was awesome. I loved it. And so what motivated me was I was just fascinated. It was just like, what is it? It was so powerful and it was so amazing. It's kind of like playing with magic in a lot of ways. And so because of this, I'm like, oh, I'm going to like learn everything about this. Like, this is just really fun. It's just cool. Right. So moving on, I then was like, oh, wait a minute. Well, how does this work? This computer stuff? Like, I don't understand. Like, I want to know more. So then I'm trying to learn everything about how to program, how to network, how to hack and so forth. Hey, one sec. Let me check my time. I want to see how much time I got. I got till 16. Oh, I got to speed up. Okay. Let me speed up a little bit. So I learned all about the computer stuff, right? Blah, blah, blah. I like hacking. I never tried to actually do any bad stuff to people. All right. So anyways, let me skip through. Here's some background on me. Okay. A big thing here is when I started learning about Linux, I didn't really know much about, I see references to GNU or Free Software Foundation, but it's like, I don't know, what does that mean? Because a lot of it was like, I don't want to learn about legal stuff. I want to learn about the computer, right? So that's kind of what I'm getting at with the theme of my talk. All right. Okay, moving forward. That I'm now teaching it. I started learning all about everything. GNU, Free Software Foundation, organization stuff, OSI, Mozilla, all the awesome license categories and licenses and so forth. So I learned all the formalities of it. And then I was like, oh, now, like, wait, this is actually really good to know about it, just in the realm of just doing stuff. All right. And keep going here. Here's the thing, though, is that this baby step idea, it's actually based on psychology. Now, I don't know if you ever heard about this, but there's this thing called the nudge theory. It got this popular thing. This came out in 2008 from a book down here. These folks from behavioral science and psychology, they noticed that you could basically do like little hints for people, is that, you know, you can kind of nudge them in a direction. So for instance, like if you put fruits first and then desserts last in a cafeteria, then people will eat fruit more often. Or you might have a sign that says, take the stairs, stay in shape. Well, then that can inspire people to use the elevator less. All right. So based on this is that we can apply this to getting more people to use free software. All right. So rule number one, though, is do not judge people. They don't like you sounding like you're smarter than them or like, you know, say like this example, like, don't be like, you're a developer and you use Windows. Like, you're just going to annoy people and they don't want to listen to you then. Instead, you want to invite them. You want to be, you know, make it fun or something like that. Like, you use Windows, you know, but all the cool people use GNU/Linux. Like, come join us. Like, you want to be inviting. You don't want to be too derogatory and stuff like that. This is big. Most people just don't have time to do this, to learn all about. So keep it simple. All right. Is that try your best to keep anything you say within less than 5 minutes, unless you can tell that they want to know more. All right. So keep it simple. Don't get too complex. Big things is like to help you with that strategy is just focus on like aspects that they would care about, such as like more privacy, more trust over their software and computers. And they also get more control. Right. I'm gonna keep going. So I don't have much time. The other thing too, this is a big critique, but please don't hate me too much when I say this, is that the other rule to this is I think we just need a strong community. You need a lot of people kind of like, hey, you should kind of like get into this or like understand it and so on and so forth. So one of the things I think is not a good thing to do right now, which I know there's kind of a schism between the usage of say free software versus open source software, but why don't we just adapt like people's understanding of this, is that a better nudge is to just say that, you know, open source software is also called free software, right? So you can actually just introduce, like, get them to understand that they mean the same, essentially. So with that, as I said, we're kind of divided right now. A lot of it's on terminology, and I get it. And I'm not trying to be too demeaning on that sense. I just, the practical aspect is these terms are just, they're just so entrenched. Like, major organizations, like, you know, I'm a member of the Free Software Foundation. There's also another organization, the Open Source Initiative. And then there's like the Linux Foundation, Red Hat Enterprise Linux, and so forth. But they're not actually using the preferred term of GNU/Linux, which, yeah, because GNU started the whole thing, right? So check this out. Like, the thing is, it's about, right? It's about freedom. It's not necessarily word choice exactly, but you can use this in this, you know, different regards, is that, you know, open source software is just more used. You can see my slides here. But the problem is that a lot of people who use these terms just don't understand a lot of the values of free software. So you can educate people on this. Like you can actually still use the term like open source software to get people to understand GNU and the Free Software Foundation. So as an example, you could say like, oh, the original term is actually called free software. And you can then explain like it came from the GNU project, the Free Software Foundation. So you're getting awareness to all of these ideas just using the more popular phrase of open source software. So you can compete on the same sense. You can do the same thing with Linux, like, oh, Linux, you know, it's technically a kernel. More respectful, say GNU/Linux. You know, this is what I'm basically getting at. I'm going to keep going because I don't have much time. You can also infuse freedom into the concept of open source software. You can say, you know, open source software, it gives you four essential freedoms. And then you can explain that. Like, you can run the code, study the code, modify it, share it, and so forth. And it's all about freedom, you know, so you get them to actually understand that. So anyway, my thing is like, hey, we're team freedom. Like, I know that we might have differences in terminology and stuff like that, but I feel like we're all on the same page for the most part. Well, let's just kind of come together. So some baby step strategies, keep it simple, so on and so forth. Don't let it be perfect, be any good. I'm going to keep going because I go into this a bit. So a big thing on this aspect is just get more people to use free software, because if they don't use it, they won't love it. So big recommendation, get more people to use Firefox, the web browser. Use Firefox over Google Chrome. I get that Google Chrome is more popular, but Firefox is amazing too. And I know that there's some DRM issues with that, but it's baby steps, right? And we can't play around with this, because like every other major browser is proprietary, and then Firefox is currently at a 4.2% usage apparently. You got to get more people using. Firefox, like, you can use it anywhere, your phone, wherever. All right, so get people using Firefox. Moving on, bunch of other software. I'm gonna keep skipping through because I ain't got time to go through every aspect currently. The other thing is make it more popular is, you know, wear shirts, get stickers, hats, stuff like that. Casually talk about it. Like, ooh, I really like Firefox new updates, you know, because if people don't know about Firefox, then they don't care about it. So talk about it, like advertise it and be passionate about that. You could then go into, if you want, try to explain DRM with stuff. I don't have time right now to get into this right now. I do have an example. You'll see the slides like that they'll post out there. So you could read through some nice little example explanation of this. I'm going to skip through the DRM stuff. All right. But the main thing is, like, if you disable DRM in Firefox, like, which I know would be desirable, the problem is, like, people want to watch like Netflix and stuff. And so Firefox currently lets people watch Netflix if they have DRM enabled. So if you disable that, then they're going to be like, well, Firefox, it's just a stupid web browser, blah, blah, blah. And then they're just going to go back to using Chrome or Safari. And it's like, nah, it's not good. So it's a baby step thing. You might have to just ignore the DRM thing temporarily. Kind of, you can get to an awareness campaign. Anyways, that's a different topic. Make it gradual. Okay. So let me show you what I'm talking about. I know this is not the most popular operating system for GNU/Linux. I still say get as many people to use Ubuntu. I know it's not as awesome and it's not as free by any measure as Triskel or PureOS. But Ubuntu is just the easiest to use, to get them to do it. And I know that Ubuntu does have proprietary aspects. I get it. But it's a baby step thing, all right? So moving forward is that, you know, if you get them using Ubuntu, they're actually using GNU/Linux, right? But if they try using, say, Triskel, sorry, my pronunciation, and they have some sort of problems, and they're gonna be like, I don't care about this thing, right? So here's some things. Developers get tired of seeing videos posted about how to use some programming language, and the person's presenting on like a Mac with, and then showcasing Chrome and stuff like that. Like, no. The branding, you got people that want to use it. Again, yeah, I know. Ubuntu's not my favorite thing. Like, if some other system becomes more free or something like that, or popular, like, that's great. Like, I'm not locked into Ubuntu. I'm just trying to get as many people to use it so that more people can understand this whole realm of free software. Also, this is huge. People want to play games. So I personally play, I use Steam on, like, I use Ubuntu. I use Steam. Steam is awesome. Like, it's a gaming platform. They got a lot of games. They got like almost 10,000 games now for GNU/Linux, and it's super easy to use. You see, the downside is a lot of games are proprietary, but if someone's using Steam, that's a huge baby step. If they're now on Ubuntu playing Steam, like, that's huge. So let me, here's this thing too. I know that this is not popular, but you can't, you know, because one of the holdbacks to a lot of people for even using, say, Ubuntu or something like that, is they got to edit Microsoft Word documents and stuff like that. So I know that, like, I personally use LibreOffice for everything, but Microsoft, like, they just, you are now unmuted. You want to talk over? It's okay. Okay. I will wrap it up. My apologies. Okay. I'll keep going here. So visually, let me skip to the visual thing. This is the strategy. Say a Windows user. They're using Chrome, Steam, Office, so on and so forth. Boom. If they use Firefox, try out LibreOffice. They care about privacy more. Show them Ubuntu, so on and so forth. Maybe get them to this stage. This is huge for freedom.
You are now muted.
And then once you get them to understand that, you can then get them to understand, like, why they would care about Triskel and such. All right. That's basically the gist. The other thing too is, you're a developer, sell your free software. As an example, and you can do this, by the way, you can look through this. Example, here's an app under the GPL3, and it's being sold for real money. So I know that Google gets a cut of that, but yeah, so that's the thing. Anyways, so that's the summary. That's why I love it. What's one where people use it? And sorry for talking over.
Great talk. Thank you very much. Yeah, that was very engaging. We don't really have time for any
questions,
but yeah, definitely check out the chat. There's been some good comments, and thanks again.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it again.
All right.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.